Amen. We really, really do need a move of God. You know, in the old times they called it revivals, and we just need a move of God in our families, in our hearts, in different areas. So as we go through this sermon, in this part 7, and I think next week is going to be the last week, I'm pretty sure now. I encourage you to be here, because I think I'm just going to give you my thoughts and opinions on what I think God's putting together in this move. And this, I may be out in left field, but I just going to give you my thoughts and on what God's up to in this move. I don't know the timing, but I do feel in my heart that He is going to move in a way that's different. And I want to share that with you, but that's going to be next week. Today I want to kind of summarize what we've talked about. What have we been talking about? You know, when I say we need a move of God, I do believe God is going to move in a way that He has never moved before. I don't mean that this move of God or this revival or this thing that will be evident to for people to see is going to be better or bigger or than other revivals or other moves of God, but I do believe it's going to be different, and God will find a way to use the church, you, because you are the church. God will find a way to use the church body to show the world the love of Jesus. Amen. Somehow, some way, God's going to use you, the instruments of God. He's going to use you to show forth the love of Jesus. Amen. And this is why we've been doing this series, in a sense. If God's going to move and He's going to use us, we got to be ready to be used. Amen. And if that has been the whole point here. Yes, we know God's got plans. We've heard prophecies that God, a wave is coming, and God's going to do an amazing thing. But why would He move if His people are not ready? Right? You know, there was a period of time between Zechariah and Jesus, about 500 years, where there was no prophets, nothing. People weren't ready. But Jesus came and reversed the trend. And that's the title of this sermon today. We need a move of God, part 7, but reverse the trend. You know, to reverse a trend, you have to be intentional about changing directions, right? To reverse something, you have to stop and you have to do something so that the wheels turn in another direction. And sometimes in life, we want God to do so much. We want God to do this, we want God to do that, but we're not willing to stop and turn and reverse our course. And that's the challenge that I want to give you today. We need to reverse this trend. And in some cases, there are generational things, generational curses, generational things that your parents may have done or your grandparents, and some darkness there that the Bible is clear that these things, they pass from generation to generation. And in order to reverse the trend, someone's got to step up and do something different. For example, there could be a curse of divorce in a home that goes from generation to generation to generation. And if you want that trend to stop, you got to shake yourself and say, no, devil, and I'm going to do whatever I can to reverse course and get on my knees and go to the cross and beg and plead that Jesus break this curse. See, there's got to be action to reverse things. You know that in physics, right? Something starts rolling down a hill. In order to reverse that trend, something's got to get in its way and stop it. And we have the authority to do it. Jesus Christ has given us the authority to do it. It's time to reverse the trend. A Pew Research study just came out, and that point in your notes that says a Pew Research, it should be a Pew, P-E-W, not P-E-R. A Pew Research study just came out recently, got my attention, and I was like, wow, we need to move. And the Pew Research study shows that currently, right now, the latest one they did, 66% of Americans say they are of Christian faith. This is down 12 percentage points in the last 10 years. That is a dramatic drop in 10 years. Where it used to be 78% of Americans would say they're of Christian faith, now it's 66% of Americans. That's getting closer to 50, isn't it? Reverse the trend. I believe God's ready and about to reverse this trend. And you know what it takes? A move of God. And in order to have a move of God, you need praying people. And you need laborers ready to go to the harvest. It's going to be inconvenient. It's going to take a lot of time. And you don't have time. But if you really stop and think about it, you don't have time to waste. We need a move of God, and it's going to take us to be the instruments of that movement. Because this trend is heading quickly in the wrong direction. And you can see it in the news. You can see it in the division in the country. You can see it in the local homes where the enemy starts attacking and brings division or brings frustration. And you can see the enemy is doing a full-all assault on God's people so that this trend continues. Because the United States of America is a powerful, powerful force that God has used to get the Christian faith word out to the world. I mean, that's just a fact. Of course we have horrible things happening in this country. Of course we have darkness, of course. But at the end of the day, this country is an instrument that God has used to fulfill His word, that the word's going to get out to all nations. He's blessed us. And you can see it. The enemy's attacking and we need to move. 66% down from 78%. Church, we need to move in our communities. You can't attack this at the macro or the global level. It starts individual churches catching the vision and catching the move of God. And we're just in a different era. I mean, in order to get people's attention that don't think about God or don't think about Christianity, in order to get their attention, it's not like it used to be. Not another great church service is going to all of a sudden bring everyone to Christ. God uses certain things in certain points of time, but I really believe God's going to do it differently this time. More on that next week, but I'm coming off the tangent. Christians who attend church regularly is down 2% from 46 to 44. So even those who proclaim to be Christians, they're going to church less. That's not good either. Church, we need to move. Look at this one. 84% of baby boomers say they are Christians, and 49% of millennials say they are Christians. That one doesn't get your attention. This is what the Pew Research said. That means once you die off, older people, it's going to go under 50%. Unless there is a move of Almighty God. Can you imagine this country having less than 50% of the people proclaiming that they're Christians? We need a move. we do need a move of God. We need revival to break out. We need the trend. We need to reverse this trend. And I know what you're thinking. You're talking national, and here we are, little Donna, Texas. Little Bethlehem, little Nazareth. It always starts little. Right? What good comes out of Nazareth? Well, the Messiah. So don't think in those terms. It just begins with you. If you start, God starts putting something in your heart to serve in a certain way, to use the gifts in a certain way, to you start praying about that, you start talking to the pastors of this church and leadership, you start getting yourself, answering the call. That God's timing is good. Sometimes you may be, oh, I need to do this right now for the Lord, and maybe, it's not time yet. But you got to be willing to answer the call and use your giftings. Wow, and 49% of millennials. I think, Casey, are you a millennial? No? You're underneath that one level? So her generation, it may be less than 49%, right? But what is going on that this is happening? The answer is simple. The enemy comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. It's really not more complicated than that. We need a move. So we've been going through this series, and I want to quickly just summarize it here. We need a move. We need something that's real. And this is what's led to this series, and here's a summary of it. First time we talked about we need a move, I talked to you about some history. Some history about the United States, some history about revivals. And this history, real simple, was this, that back in the 1700s, the church had a move of God, and the church went from ritual to personal relationship with Jesus. And that was a revival that happened within the church. And then later on in the 1800s, there was a move of God, and it came in the form of evangelism, in the form of new converts, of new salvations. A huge influx of people were added to the church. And in that revival, the trend was reversed, that more and more people in the United States were going to church. And in the 1900s, the move of God was more about the power of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Spirit of God. And that's the Pentecostal movement that we all know of and love. The power of the Holy Spirit, that was the move of God. And this was the history. But in every one of those moves of God, it always, always began with repentive hearts. People ready to reverse the trends. Prayer and repentive hearts. People who hungered and thirsted after righteousness. So number two was repentant hearts in the church. Number three is some just desire down deep, 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 deep in the heart that just wants righteousness to prevail. Right? Like, I want to set things right. I want to set things right in my life. This sin over here is just causing problems, and Lord, I want to set it right. Empower me by your Spirit to set this right. Just this desire of righteousness will begin a move of God. A repentive heart, a desire for righteousness. And then being willing, number four, to utilize the giftings that you have in that power of the Holy Spirit. Just, okay, Lord, I repented. I want your righteousness to prevail. But you know what? I'd like to sit over here in the corner and just watch it all. No. Lord, I repent. I want righteousness to prevail. And I am in the fight. And I'm going to use my gifts to make a difference. I'm going to use my gifts to impact people around me. Utilizing your spiritual gifts. And then number five. As you begin to grow in Christ, as you begin to mature in the Lord, there's one thing that I don't think the church focuses enough on. These nine fruits of the Spirit need to be who you are. A person of love, a person of joy, a person of peace, a person of patience, long-suffering and patience, meekness, kindness. That's as you grow in the Lord, as you absorb or just feel yourself in God's presence, these characteristics should become more and more who you are. Because these are the characteristics of Christ, the nine fruits of the Spirit. You see, there are people who have been serving the Lord a long time who have decided that that fruit is not for them. And it keeps them from reaching higher ground. It keeps them from moving on with the Lord. One of them that we all have to work on, some more than others, is this anger that hits us, that we know that if everyone saw it, that we would be ashamed. Right? And some of you aren't as good as hiding it, but you actually are probably better off than the ones that are hiding it. Because at least it's there for everyone to see. See, the fruits of the Spirit. And what I'm trying to say here is don't make excuses. Oh, that's just the way I am. No, your life is supposed to line up with those nine fruits of the Spirit. And they're supposed to get stronger and stronger in you. Love, joy, peace, even in the storm. They're supposed to grow. They're not supposed to be stagnant. There's never a point that you should be satisfied. Oh, that's just who I am. I get upset every once in a while. Oh, that's just who I am. I'm very impatient, and it frustrates me, and you're just going to have to deal with it. See, that right there is a proud heart that is not willing to be broken for Jesus. No excuses. That's who we are. That's who we're, the Spirit of God. When we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us, the nine fruits of the Spirit will be the results of that. Allow the Holy Spirit to fill you. And the last one, last week we talked about forgiveness and being slow to judge others. Forgiving other people, as I read last week from John Hopkins Hospital or organization, holding unforgiveness is bad for your health according to the secular medical community. And God, we read the scriptures last week, God said, don't hold bitterness, forgive, and you'll be with the same measure you forgive and the same measure you judge others, they will be given to you. So it's clear in scripture that God wants us to forgive. Remember I told you that if you're actually counting the 490 times that you have a problem, you know, the 70 times 7, you're supposed to forgive often. And it doesn't say in the Bible that you only forgive when they ask you. Because you'll be waiting a long time in some cases. And when somebody literally comes and asks for forgiveness, then even more so, right? You need to forgive. You see, the reason I wanted to cover these points as it relates to a move of God is because we, the church, need to embody these concepts. And this is what God is asking us to become, so that when He moves, we're going to be those instruments that He uses to reverse the trends in a community, in a family, in a heart, in the nation. We need to reverse the trends. So this list represents what the church must be focused on to be real and to get ready for the move of God. Don't get run over by the move of God. Get ready. And of course, the foundation of all of your life, all of your Christian life, I'm not covering it here because it's so basic, so elementary, it should already be known to all of us. The foundation of all of these concepts that we just went through, which is a repentant heart, having a desire for righteousness, utilizing your spiritual gifts, allowing the fruits of the Spirit to grow in your heart, and having a heart of forgiveness and being slow to judge. All of these concepts, the very foundation of all of this is having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Read your Bible, pray, worship. You know, having that intimacy with God. And I didn't make these one of the points because, frankly, it should be so elementary to you. I shouldn't have to cover that, as that's needed for the move of God, right? I mean, that's basic, elementary. And if you've been coming to this church for a long time, you know, read your Bible and pray every day. No excuses. If you're not doing it, you're heading into trouble. Amen? And boy, that, trust me, I know how you feel. Pastor Green would pound it, and I would hate to hear it because I knew that I was failing in that area when I was young. And he just wouldn't let it go like a pit bull. I always say, you grabbed onto it. And, are you reading your Bible, praying every day? Oh, yeah, mostly. Or, I mean, you have to be, because, you know, I don't want to lie, but I didn't want to say, oh, yes, absolutely, because that wasn't the truth. And he knew if I didn't say absolutely that I was failing in that area. He just knew it. So I couldn't wiggle my way out of that. Of course, that's the foundation, our personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So just quickly, some scriptures about, and I wanted to cover these because this is God's character. God wants to reverse these trends. Because in the past, he's shown that. And I wanted to, John 3:16, we all know John 3:16. But God, the reason why we have John 3:16 is because God was ready to reverse the trend. For God so loved the world, he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Humanity was lacking hope. The day of the prophets were over. We had that 500-year stretch, and it was time. And Jesus came. And the trend was reversed. And you know the story. Jesus died for all mankind, and hope was established. The trend was reversed. In Matthew 16, verse 13, real quick, Matthew 16, 13. And Jesus said unto the, came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi. He asked the disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? You see, at this point, Jesus hadn't formally revealed himself as the Messiah to the disciples, right? At least not to where, like, he just told them. That's what it is. But here we have this moment. And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist. Some say thou art Elijah. And others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he says unto them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Messiah. So Peter said, no, you're not a prophet. You're not John the Baptist, come back. You're not Elijah. You are the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered, and he said, blessed art thou, Simon Peter, for flesh and blood have not revealed it to thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This right here was a moment that reversed everything. Now it wasn't just like, oh, Jesus is doing miracles, he's awesome. Now, Jesus is saying, yes, Peter, Holy Spirit has revealed that to you. I am the Messiah, and everything's about to change. And Peter got so excited, he thought Jesus was going to conquer Jerusalem and kick out the Romans, and they were going to take over Jerusalem. He thought it was right there, right? That was their time, and he was so excited. But when Jesus died, that changed. But the trend was the trend that was changed here was all spiritual. The enemy lost authority, and Jesus took away his keys, and now we have access to eternal life. Because God loved the world, he sent his only Son. So it's what I'm trying to say here is that it's in God's character to move and reverse the trends And if he needs to send a donkey, he'll send a donkey. If he needs to send a son, he'll send a son. If he needs to send you, he will send you. If he needed to send Amy Simple McPherson, there she was on her deathbed. I guess she was stubborn, right? She didn't want to give in until she was on her deathbed. Don't go that far. Surrender now. It's a lot easier. But that's God's character. He reverses trends because basically what God is in the business of doing is defeating darkness. And he's going to use us to do that. In Acts chapter 3, verse 1 through 11, you know the story. For the first time, Peter's without Jesus. Peter has been filled with the Spirit of God, which is number 4, right? Peter had a desire for righteousness. Peter had repented. And Peter was about to utilize a spiritual gift he may not even know he had. And Peter, for the first time, without Jesus around, right? Jesus is gone. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter now gets the boldness and reverses this trend. I don't need Jesus to be right here with me on this earth. He's with me. He'll always be with me. I now have the authority to ask this lame man to rise up and walk in Jesus' name. And that reversed the trend. From now on, anybody who's a believer can pray for the sick and they shall recover. Anybody who's a believer. This changed everything. Back then, only the prophet or only this or only that. Now, every one of us, any one of us, can have a gift of healing. Not just the pastors or the leaders. Any one of us can have a gift of prophetic word. Any one of us can have a gift of prophetic word or knowledge or wisdom. Any one of us. That reversed it. And now here we are. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Who are we? Who are we? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, are you in Christ? Amen. Okay, then we're talking to you, right? This is yours. Any man that's in Christ, he is a new creation. I don't like to say creature. It sounds so awful. But it says creature, right? Yeah. You are a new person, a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We've all experienced that, right? When we got saved, it was like, whoa, I can see things differently. So we're there. We understand that concept. And all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, thou God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them who hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. See, Jesus came to reconcile. But Jesus is not here on earth physically. So guess who now has to do the reconciling? You. That's our ministry. It says there, given to us the ministry of reconciliation in verse 18. Verse 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. So it's very clear. Who are the ambassadors? Who are the representatives? Who are the people that are going to reconcile man to God? It's us. In any move of God, it's going to take people who have taken up his cross and decided to follow him. You may be thinking, well, that's too much. No, it's not too much. You'll be surprised what God will do with a surrendered heart. And I grew up in Donna. Our address was 205 South 25th Street. I wouldn't have ever, ever, ever imagined when I was 10, 15, even 18 years old, that I would have seen how good God is. And I'm not saying that, telling you I haven't had a lot of trouble, a lot of heartache, a lot of frustration, a lot of drama, a lot of storms. But I can tell you, standing here, that when I look back, God was there, is there, every step of the way. And not only was he there, his promises have come true. And believe me, there were times where I had doubts whether or not he would come through on some things. And to be honest, on some things that he didn't come through that were frustrating me, later on, that whatever didn't happen ended up not even being important in my life. Think about that. There were things that I wanted God to do, and he didn't do them. And then as time went on, I'm like, I'm kind of glad you didn't do that, Lord. Because my life is awesome when I see what you're doing in people's lives. We are the ambassadors. You are destined for greatness. Reverse the trend. Reverse the trend, and it begins with you. So, pastor's thoughts, and I'm going to end with this. We need a move of God, amen? Amen. And we will be used as those instruments that God will use to glorify his name. Jesus left heaven to die for our sins, and now we are left to be the ambassadors to show God's glory and love to the world. We can't change the world by ourselves, but we can be ready to be used by God as instruments. We can reverse the trend of godlessness in the world by beginning with our own hearts, answering our own calling, doing our own commitment to him. And in Matthew 9:36, one of my favorite scriptures, because it reminds me that we need laborers. And how compassionate Jesus was. But when Jesus saw the multitudes, 9 verse 36, in closing. But when Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. It's pretty clear, church. God is preparing to move. But before he moves, and of course he's moving all the time, but there's going to be a point in time where the trends are going to be reversed, and we will know God is on the move. These percentages dropping from Christians 77 to 66 to 49 millennials, that trend's got to be reversed. And it begins with us, one local body at a time, one church at a time, but you got to answer the call. If you have something in that God is just stirring up in your heart, I have these gifts, I want to start, you start talking to your pastors about that. And it may not be like, okay, tomorrow we'll start. But it may be something you pour in, and then as we pray together, as time goes on, it'll be like, now it's time. But you got to be let it known that you are willing to be used. Amen? So, in God's perfect timing. So, next week, I want to just give you my thoughts. So, it might not be as scriptural. It may be just my thoughts on how I see that God is gonna move in a way to that's different, and I'm not gonna say that I, you know, thus saith the Lord, this is exactly what's gonna happen, but I just want to share something in my heart And we'll use some scriptures, of course, but I want to share about this whole concept that kind of brought me to this series. So I'm kind of nervous, but yet excited to do that next week. So be here next week. Bring someone with you. If you notice, there's people in the church that you're in contact with that aren't here or as consistent, feel free to text them. Let them know that you missed them or give them a call, because we need each other. We need each other. Attending church faithfully is not just for you. Attending church faithfully brings increased faith to the body, right? You know, when everybody shows up, people just get a little more excited. And then when you have empty church, like, well, you know, you can still get excited, right? Because who cares? I still love God. But it does do something in a emotional sense. And we are people that go on emotion sometimes, and we should learn to trust God no matter what you see with your eyes. But it is helpful to the brethren for people to be faithful, right? And when young people see people be faithful, it helps them understand how important that is. So let's all stand. So you're leaving today knowing that we need to reverse this trend. We need to reverse the trend. We need a move of God to reverse this trend. And it's us. We're instruments. We're the laborers. So bow your heads, close your eyes. Heavenly Father, we hear your word telling us that your desire is that no one should perish. Your desire is that all find your Son. Your desire, Lord, is that we answer your call, that we become the laborers and the instruments that you use for amazing, amazing things. Lord, seal this in our hearts. We definitely know we need a move of God to reverse these trends. But Lord, if we're honest with ourselves, we have no idea how to do that. We may think we do, but at the end of the day, Lord, it's about you. You're leading. Your timing, we just need to be available and ready to be used. And Lord, we pray for our families, that you reverse those trends that need to be reversed. We pray for our church, all the local churches, that you ignite a fire in all the local churches to reverse the trends. We pray, oh Lord God, that you reverse the trend in our nation and in this world. We know how the book ends. We know that you will come down in glory, a new heaven, a new earth, the new Jerusalem. We know how it ends. We know that victory is assured. But between now and then, we are the laborers and the ambassadors that you want to use to cast darkness out and to reverse the trends. So Lord, seal that in our hearts. We're determined to be used by you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Let's give him a clap offering. Amen.